introduce, so I'll let you know who I am. My name is Hargrove, and I am your pastor. The sermon I have this afternoon is a continuation of one I gave last week or the week before, and a series of things that will be restored when Jesus Christ returns to this earth. For many, possibly in the room here and in the Church of God over the USA, it has little relevancy because so many of us have grown up in the city and we have no idea what this is all about. But it is something that is very important, and the restoration of this will make a big, big difference in the improvement of health, the improvement of land, and the joy of just living on this earth. The sermon this afternoon is about the land Sabbath, which you may have heard before, but it's not been talked about all that much, but it is part of what Jesus Christ will restore when he returns to this earth. Let's look at this, which will tie into the introduction or tie into the sermon in Acts chapter 3. You've heard it read many times, no doubt, but it was for other things, which were good, but seldom did they mention this one. Acts chapter 3, and we'll skim down to verse 18. Those things which God foretold by the mouth of his prophets that the Messiah would suffer, he's fulfilled. And then talking to the people, therefore, since that's the case, repent and be converted. A lot of people have religion, but they're not converted. And they just mouth a lot of things. Repent, be converted so that your sins, breaking of the laws, many different laws, may be blotted out so that the times of refreshing. If you've been out mowing the yard in 90 degree temperature and you come into the home and you're sweating like a I won't say what I had in mind to tell you was sweating like, but you get a cold beer and you sit down and you drink it, not enough to get drunk in any way, but just to drink a nice beer, you think, wow, that was really good, and you feel refreshed. Well, that's just a small example of what this earth will be like when Jesus returns and he implements and rebuilds through his own authority and through the assisting efforts of many others that he's called into his church, through the Father's church, so that the times of refreshing, the earth will, in a sense, say, about time. That was so good. I'm so so respect that, and I enjoy that, and I, using the I as a the earth being a human being, which it isn't, I feel so much better now. From the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration. So there are two words here. First is refreshment, and the other is restoration, or they tie together. When these things are restored, the earth will be refreshed. And I think society will experience refreshing also. Times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his prophets since the world began. The land Sabbath is one of those things that will be restored. Now, if you've had a big garden over many years, you probably understand the principle of it. But if you've grown up in the city and milk comes from the grocery store and food comes from the grocery store and you have no idea where it was produced, then maybe the land Sabbath has no relevancy to you just because you weren't experienced in it as a child growing up. But there are a few. I see Mr. Martin, he came from a farm in Minnesota, did you not? You understand the land. There are others who understand the land. I myself grew up from birth to age 20 on a farm. Three different farms, but the last one was for about 13 or 14 years, a cotton farm. And I can recall as a small boy, age 3, taking food to my father, my brothers and sisters as they worked in the field on the farm. In 1943, my first year in school, my job was to chop the weeds out of the, even at that age, six, I think it was, to chop weeds. And also, during that time, 6 weeks out of the school year to harvest cotton. Now, in the 20s and 30s, I think, the state of Texas allowed the schools to stop the school activities, and the farmers used their children to harvest their crops. But I don't know when it was, maybe late 30s, early 40s, that habit was stopped in Texas. Except my father didn't stop. He still kept his children out of school for 6 weeks. And I remember one time about 8 weeks we were out harvesting cotton. So cotton has a big thing to play in my life. I remember it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. In planting it and harvesting it and chopping the weeds out of it. And we did that. I did that until the eighth grade. In the late 40s, there were some beautiful years and bountiful years as far as cotton was concerned. Some people think that oil and cattle made Texas what it is. That ain't so. Cotton made Texas a powerful state because many people came here. My great-grandfather came from Mississippi to Texas to find land for cotton. And many people came to be able to find land and to plant cotton. And it was a money-making crop. They didn't plant other types of materials. They planted cotton. And that went on probably until I was in the 10th grade. That the land was productive. It gave us a decent income. We didn't own the land. We were sharecroppers. A man owned it. He paid all the expenses. We did all the work, and my father got half of the profits. So that went on with, as far as my involvement was, until about the 10th grade. And then there was something that happened that put us a pretty quick stop to the income that was coming in. They called it a drought. And there again, if you've never lived on the farm and it wasn't the reason you had an income for your livelihood, drought doesn't mean anything right now for many people because they've never been on the farm. They don't raise anything. But the drought killed everything on our land. There was a total, complete and total crop failure in the 10th grade, and so I understand what that is also. Later, and I noticed this even as a young man, I noticed that there were certain dead spots in the field of cotton, just maybe an acre, 2 acres. The cotton plants had died, and I didn't know why. And it died, the plants died, and the stalks became like petrified wood. There was no cotton on it at all. It was just a piece of a stem that looked like petrified wood. And I didn't know why it was that way, but I've come to understand that the land we lived on at that time, 43 to 55, the land had been planted in cotton, or cotton planted on the land for 40 years or more. The term is monoculture. That's all many planted. They planted it. They took it to the gin. They got money. It was a cash crop, and it was a very good cash crop. But cotton returns very, very little to the soil. Very little. I know. Sarah Molar, who lives down near southern part of here, she gave to Lee and me a very small cotton, a bale of cotton, very small bale of cotton. It's about this, this tall, that wide. And I've kept that for many years. It still reminds me of my heritage of the cotton farm and the importance of cotton in the world, because it was not since a lot of the other things have come along to produce clothes from, but cotton produced a lot of very beautiful and enjoyable clothes to wear. Anyway, what I was talking about, that cotton was planted on the land for some 40 years, maybe more, I don't know, and that's about all it was planted. It was a monoculture, it was a cash crop, but since it was returning very, very little to the soil, then the soil was never really refreshed, and it didn't produce very much because it wasn't being fed properly. The soil was worn out because, I don't know if you've ever seen a stalk of cotton, once you harvest the cotton itself, the carpels and the seed and everything else, all it has is just a little stem, and it goes down to the bigger stem, and that's all. And when you put that back into the soil, and you won't really get it into the soil, it'll just get together like sticks in the soil. But it does not refresh the soil. And that is why I began to notice the spots in the fields, and the cotton plants were dead, and it was like petrified wood, because all that had ever been returned to the soil was the dead cotton stalks that had nothing in it to give to the soil. And you can't get something from nothing. You can't get good food from the land if you are not giving anything back to the land. So we noticed, we have to notice over a year or two or so, I don't know, that if we planted wheat or oats or maize or milo, as it's called, the next year and plowed under the stalks as roughage, then the cotton was better the next year because it had been fed. And you could see the difference. They call that crop rotation, or it is the opposite of monoculture. We also noticed that skip row planting helped. That is where you plant two rows and you leave one empty. That helps, but it's not what we're talking about as far as one of the things that Christ will return and do. Well, as a youth involved in all of that, I was ignorant. I didn't know what was going on. So was my father, ignorant of it. He didn't know, and neither did our landowner. He just wanted the money from the crop. And we were learning by hard, cruel experience one of the premier laws of Almighty God when it comes to dirt or soil or crops. Life comes from life. And if there is no life in the soil, you're not going to get anything from it. Our experience was indicative also of the ignorance of people about soil, or as we call it, dirt. Dirt or soil. Dirt is dirt is dirt. Well, you plant seeds in the dirt and the dirt gives you crops until the dirt is exhausted. And then it can't give you anything. It's worn out. It's dead. It has no life left. And the farmer is in trouble. And will be until he learns a lesson about the soil. All of this could have been avoided if my father, the landowner, and also the U.S. Agricultural Department had understood and practiced one of the little-known laws, the very wonderful laws of God, the land Sabbath. The land needs to be rested and refreshed and rebuilt and fed. And they didn't understand that. Dirt is dirt. You just keep planting, keep planting, keep planting. But pretty soon it says, hey, wait a minute. This is not working. I need some food. Let's go to Leviticus 25, beginning in verse 1, about something that, though us city dwellers now have little knowledge of, and it doesn't seem to be relevant to this huge wonderful kingdom of God and government, what's dirt got to do with it? Well, in Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 1, we will see that it has an awful lot to do with it. And it is one of the things, the lack of which is the cause of the moaning of the soil, the moaning of the earth, because of what's being done to it. Leviticus 25 and verse 1. God spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, and here's what he said to Moses. It was knowledge God gave to Israel through Moses. Moses, you speak to the children of Israel, and here's what you're to tell them. When you come into the land which I give you, then the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. Now, land is dirt, so it's speaking, you might say, as if it were a person. The land doesn't know anything. It's just a law of good. It's living by the laws of God about crops and soil. Keep a Sabbath. The land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. So we talk about the land Sabbath. It needs a rest too. Then he said, 6 years you shall sow your field, 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruit. But in the seventh year, there will be a Sabbath of solemn rest. And you might say refreshing. Solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard, because it has been producing and producing and producing, and it never had a rest. So God said the soil needs a rest also. This is talking about every 7 years. And verse 4 said, in the seventh year, the land Sabbath. It said the land will have a solemn rest. Man's ways concerning dirt or soil or land is to push the soil and demand of it. And when the soil cannot do it anymore, they use a man-made article to force it to produce. You've heard it, but you may not have realized how it applies to this. Fertilizer is put on the soil, where it is forced to produce. That's like in the Civil War days, you beat the slave when he didn't produce. Well, that's what man has been doing to the soil for a long time. He's beating the soil because it isn't producing. And chemicals will give you a production, but it also has some difficulties and some sad things that are produced that are very harmful to human beings because the soil was not fed properly. You've heard of Dow Chemical. They're a big part of that. As I said, we live in the city, so we probably don't know a lot of things about the land Sabbath, but it is something that you will help in the kingdom of God. Just in teaching the ways of God, the laws of God as they apply to this earth and to human beings also. So we may not need this information right now, but during the millennium, I feel there will be many people who will be on the soil and they will have need of the knowledge of how to handle the soil. The average person today would say, well, look, if you keep the land Sabbath, you're going to starve. And that could be true also, that if you keep the land Sabbath, you will starve unless God is in the picture. God is the one that did it. If you're doing it just because somebody told you you might ought to, and you don't have faith in God and you don't believe it, it might not work. But you do have to have God in the picture. Just like you understand the principle, you work 6 days, or at least 6 days of work are allowed, and then you rest on the Sabbath. Some people say, well, how do you make a living taking off on Saturday? I'd starve if I wouldn't have a job if I did that. We know that we have God in the picture. We look to God and trust God that even though we keep the Sabbath when 99% of everybody else is working on the Sabbath or watching football, that God has to be in the picture. So it may not mean much to us now, but it will in the future, and we understand the principle with the Sabbath. Let's notice in, one other thing on this. Let's while we're here in Leviticus 25, let's look in verses 5 to 7. There are a couple of points here that are very important. About the land Sabbath, it said it was to have a year of rest. Then it says in verse 5, what grows of its own accord of your harvest you shall not reap. Why not? It's my field. It's my crop. I own it. I can do what I want to with it. Well, there's another principle about helping others with your wealth, shall we say. What grows of its own accord of your harvest you shall not reap, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine. You know, God had a law that said as you walk through your neighbor's vineyard, you can pluck grapes from it. Just don't harvest the whole field, that's all. And then go sell it to somebody else. But that was allowed. So it said, what grows of its own accord, you shall not reap nor gather of your untended field. It is a year of rest for the land. And the Sabbath produce of that land shall be food for you, whatever is there, your male and female servants, your hired man, the stranger that dwells among you. And it shows there's a kind of an unspoken point about it here, that when God is in the picture and you're having faith in God, that He will bless you during those 6 years enough that you will be able to do that on the seventh year, and allowing the land to rest, and the next year starting over again, you find, as we found when we planted certain things and then we plowed it under to feed the soil gave better crop the next year. And God will do that for people. Then it says in verse 8, you shall count 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself, 7 times 7, and the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be to you 49. In case, I guess God thought, well, he can't count, so we'll tell him 7 times 7, 49. Then you're to cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound of this set, in other words, the 50th anniversary of certain things. A lot of very enjoyable things in this land Sabbath. But it shows we are to eat and give away the natural growth. And then in verse 18, you shall observe my statutes and keep my judgments and perform them so that you will dwell in the land in safety. And the land will yield its fruit and you will eat your fill and dwell there in safety. Verse 20 says what I was talking about. If you say, and we probably will, what shall we eat in the seventh year? I didn't plan anything. What are we going to have to eat? Since we shall not sow or gather, then I will command my blessing of you in the sixth year, and it'll bring forth more for those 3 years, enough for the 3 years. So there are some laws of hospitality and generosity that the earth is for all people. God blesses us if we use it properly, and we'll be able to be a blessing to other people also who maybe live in the city and they don't have a farm to do this to. And it's kind of nice. DeLee remembers in Oregon when she was a little girl that you could go into after the fruits were harvested, and there was some that had fallen or others that you could take, as I said, just so you don't take the whole field. And that was a part of the philosophy in Oregon at that time. Whether it is now or not, I don't know. But we do have to have God involved in this, and we do have to have faith in his laws. Let's look then in Exodus 23 and verse 12, where it's talking about the Sabbath, but the principle is the same. Exodus 23 and verse 12. "6 days you shall do your work," or as we've come to understand, "you have 6 days in which to do your work, not seven. And on the seventh day you'll rest." Isn't that amazing? God demands that we rest on the Sabbath. And sometimes one of the hardest things to do is to rest on the Sabbath, because you can find so many other things to keep you busy that you're not really resting and refreshing. And it also said, "so your donkey and your ox can rest," the way they planted and plowed in those days, "and the son of your servants and strangers can be refreshed." So, 6 days work, seventh refreshed. It's good for the land, and of course, if it's good for the land, then it's good for the food that's planted in the land. So this is the same in the land Sabbath. We feed the soil. We plant cover crops and till it under for soil growth. You may or may not realize that the quality of food is tied to the health of the soil. If the soil doesn't have it to give, you're not going to get any really quality vegetables coming from the soil. It will give you only what it has and what has been given to it. And of course, since the health is tied to the soil, then the health of people is tied to the health of the soil. And you will find the land Sabbath has a lot to do with this. Delia and I have gone to Malabar Farm and eaten there. I've walked in the area there, but in 1950 I had no idea what the Malabar Farm was. But our agricultural teacher, when I was in the ninth grade, used to go to the library, and he'd bring back, not videos, we didn't have them then, but I've forgotten what he brought back, movies of Malabar Farm in Loudonville, Ohio. I had no idea where that was or who he was, but I thoroughly enjoyed looking at those movies of how he had dealt with the soil. It was mesmerizing for me to look at that and how nice it really was. Louis Bromfield had been a writer, and he'd made a lot of money. He went to France. He made more, but he wanted to come back to the USA, and he wanted to come back home to the Mansfield area, which he did. And he bought 3 rundown farms, and since I guess they didn't tell him they were run down, I don't know when he found out they were run down, but he then began to rebuild the soil and rebuild the land, and he began to practice natural laws on the soil. And he had learned that from J.I. Rodale in Emmaus, Pennsylvania, and he'd learned it from a fellow in England about soil and how you deal with the soil. They were ahead of their time. They knew something many people didn't know then, because we were a young nation and we worked the soil and asked it to give us what it had, and we didn't think about what it might not be able to give us because it didn't have it. Well, Rodale was scoffed at, but his Prevention magazine has been around for a long time. It's gone a little bit different from what he started, but it had to do with organic gardening. Organic is a word that is really exploding now, but these men understood organic long ago, and they produced some really good foods because of that. So I didn't know you, but I knew of this area because Malabar Farm was a name I'd never heard of before. But I thoroughly enjoyed watching those movies of Malabar Farm in Loudonville, Ohio. There was another one that touched me also about, and this all deals with the land Sabbath, or why there has to be or needs to be a land Sabbath of rest. I had a video that, and I still have it. It was made in 1987. It was called Common Ground. And it was, the speaker on that was Dennis Weaver. He was one of the actors in Gunsmoke. You know, what a good man to get for the soil, Gunsmoke. But Dennis Weaver moderated this video of Common Ground. And it was all about farmers in California, in Iowa, in Pennsylvania, who had been forced to change because of rising costs of chemical fertilizers and because of the deterioration of the earth that it wasn't producing. It had come to the point where almost it was dead. And I don't know if anybody has ever said anything more about that, but it was an outstanding document about the need of the soil. These farmers were forced to change because their land had become locked up because of chemicals, and it wouldn't produce. And they found out that when they changed it and began to feed the soil, they had better results. I guess you would call that regenerative farming. Resting the soil. Less chemical, more natural, less monoculture, and more crop rotational. Did any of you grow up in the age of the Dust Bowl in the USA? Nobody. Well, I grew up just at the end of it, and I remember some of the after effects of the blowing of the soil. It covered a big part of the grassland of Kansas, Colorado, Oklahoma, and Texas, and it went down as far as Amarillo and maybe down to Lubbock. Had a big thing to do with the XIT ranch and that part of the upper panhandle of Texas. This was in the 1930s, and it went on for about 10 years. You will find all of this in a film by Ken Burns. He's a very famous producer of films now, and you can probably go on Roku, or you can go somewhere, go to the library perhaps, or go onto Yahoo and type in Dust Bowl Ken Burns, and you will find a lot of that information about what the Dust Bowl was. But not sure how far back, but the white man, shall we say, realized that he needed the land that the Native American Indians had, and the way to get that was to kill the buffalo and drive the American Indian out, and then he plowed up the grass that was so abundant that fed the buffalo and fed the life for the Native Americans. They destroyed the grasslands, and then they planted. They destroyed that, and they planted crops. And when they didn't resupply the grasslands. And somewhere in the early 30s, they noticed there began to be dust. Finally, it got so bad that one of the dust storms went all the way to Washington, D.C. And then the American lawmakers realized, well, we got a problem once it blew into Washington, D.C. But it blew south out of Kansas into Colorado and Oklahoma and Texas. And I have a book about the Dust Bowl, and you see those pictures, it's just absolutely sad, where the not feeding of the soil and not planting the grasses, they were like things you see of in Africa, the destruction, and nobody could do anything about it. And the people, their noses were full of dirt. Their ears were full of dirt. Their houses were full of dirt. Their land was nothing but blowing dirt. All because of what men had done to destroy the grass, to get the buffalo dead, so they could have that land. And they didn't treat it right. And it is one of the sad things in the history of the USA. Rather than watching some other film on Saturday night, maybe you could watch The Dust Bowl by Ken Burns and get a little understanding of how important the land Sabbath will be when we treat the dirt as something that's living and treat it properly. Taking care of the soil makes sure that the economy is always strong. Because if you don't have any soil, where are you going to get food? Where are you going to get things that produce products, that makes money, that keeps the economy going? It is very important. Soil is very important for the stability, the strength, and the wealth of a nation. You know, you may say, no, if we get silver and gold, we're okay. You know the ones that made the most money in the days of the gold rush? The people that sold food to the gold rushers. That's what. Because you gotta have food to get the gold. And if the land won't produce the food, you're in trouble. So, soil is tied up, is very important in the wealth of a nation and the stability of the nation. It is tied to the nation in a very, very wonderful way. And in the future, the land Sabbath will show that. As I said, you and I probably in modern America today won't learn much about it because we own a farm or we rent a farm. And so we're in the city and we go to the store and we buy at Costco and we buy at Walmart and we buy a lot of other things, but we don't know where and how these other things come, nor do we understand the chemicals and other things that are, because we're not involved in the soil. One of the reasons the land will blossom as a rose during the millennium is, you fill in the gap, it will blossom as a rose. Not if the soil is not good, it won't. It can't. The land can't give you what it doesn't have. And so it will blossom as a rose because the land will be being dealt with. If you have had or have a garden, a larger one, maybe you've learned some of these lessons too. And you can see that. And there's more and more in the Mother Earth magazine talking about having a garden and planting good foods and having better health. Because you're taking care of the soil, and the soil through the plants are taking care of the ones that own the land. There are some realistic laws that pertain to the land Sabbath. We talk about living laws. This is one of those living laws also. There is another one, maybe not in the same way as Dust Bowl, but one of the difficulties in our nation and why it's suffering is because the land has been depleted and then added a lot of chemical fertilizers and other things that have not allowed the land to rest, but have forced it to grow. In the book Rachel Carson, 1962, the book written by Rachel Carson in 1962, The Silent Spring, a very touching book and showing why we in America are having certain difficulties and diseases and other things because of the way we have and have not taken care of the soil. Let's go back to Acts 3 and look at this verse again. In the light of one of the things, in addition to government, in addition to the Ten Commandments, in addition to financial systems, in addition to no war, there is one that's kind of a little known one, and we don't think that much about it, but it will be, you might say, the strength, or it gives the strength to all these others, because it is the most important as far as giving food and producing health. Acts chapter 3, we find in verse 17, it was said to the people, I know that you did this in ignorance, as did your rulers. Now, it's talking about the death of Jesus Christ, so it's not talking about the soil, but the principle is still the same. The average farmer has been ignorant because he didn't learn of soil. He just knew that if you put a seed in the soil, it grew, and it kept on doing that, and maybe it took him 20, 30, 40 years to finally learn if you don't refresh the soil, it cannot continue to grow. So he said, but those things which God foretold about the death of Christ, he has fulfilled. And you'll find that God has said certain things about the soil. So he said, repent, or you mean to change. And man needs to change how he treats the earth, or he will be in trouble. Repent, change your mind, and your sins or misfortunes will be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing. I still, when I drive by, I remember in, what was it, 87, I think it was. Dilly and I went to the Middle East, and we went to Israel, and we were on the top of Mount. I looked out across the plains, and I saw huge bales of cotton, and I couldn't believe it. I come to Israel, and I find cotton. It was such a joy to see it. And then we visited our granddaughter, Kristen, in Georgia 2 years ago, I think it was. And we were driving along, and I looked out to the right side of the car window, and there was a whole field of cotton. So I took Kristen out there to show her what cotton was, and she enjoyed that too. Refreshing may come from the presence of God. He is going to refresh this earth because he will demand, and yet they will buy into the knowledge of how to treat the soil if you want such and such results. And also that he may send Jesus, who was preached to you before, and he must receive, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration are restoring some things that have been removed. And not taking care of the land is one of the things that needs to be restored. Having been a farmer's son and worked on the farm, it means a lot to me. I still have dirt in my shoes, not because I don't take a bath, but I'm speaking symbolically. I do still have dirt in my shoes because I enjoyed the land. I still enjoy the land, but I don't see any way I'm ever going to get back to the farm in this. Not that I don't like what I'm doing, but I'm just saying that it's another area of life, and I don't foresee that any in the ministry will ever get back to the soil if they ever came from it. It is a very important part of life, and it is one of those things that will be restored, and it is one of the reasons why then that in the millennium the land will be refreshed, and it will be refreshed in the sense of becoming like a rose garden. just a little to think about on the things that are to be restored, the land Sabbath, maybe something you've heard of, but maybe not looked at it from this perspective, and it'll help you to have another view of life in the laws, the living laws of God, and the things that maybe you'll have a part of in the millennial kingdom of God as an assistant to Jesus Christ also.